I had a correction, and you all have got the correction sheets. You can know if you had a correction sheet in question four, where it says Jonah 3:10. That is a correction sheet. Do you need one? Nobody needs it. Okay. All righty. Okay. There's two categories that Jonah falls into. One is being he's reluctant to fulfill his mission. Second, he does fulfill the mission. So I picked five questions in between the total thing. And you all have the questions down there. And we'll go with question number one. Why did Jonah flee? Anyone can answer?
For the presence of the Lord.
Okay. Is there anything else that reminds us why he fled? Correct. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I've got down here, Jonah was a prophet, a Hebrew Jew in Israel, son of Amittai, in the days of northern kingdom, Jeroboam the second. 793 to 746. And that question was, why did Jonah flee? It was a foolish decision on his part because he didn't want responsibilities to go and preach to the people that he didn't like because they weren't Jews. He was Jewish. So he decided to flee his responsibilities and go to Joppa and board a ship going to Tarshish, trying to escape from God. Now, we know we can't escape from God. He's everywhere. But he tried to. So the question that was asked now next was he thinking, what was the thinking of the sailors?
John, before you get to that.
Yes.
Let me
see that. Right, right. Right, that's true. Yes. Right. Right. Now, in question two, like I say, what were the sailors thinking? Were they correct? We'll just answer the question, then we'll go to the subtitles here. What was their thinking? That they were condemned? They thought that because Jonah came on board that he brought evil upon them, and they didn't know if they caused it or Jonah caused it. They didn't know yet. So if we go to Jonah, 1:4 through 5a. Once he boarded the ship, he went below and found a nice place to sleep, and the Lord commanded a great wind and sea, and wind and waves, and that come against the boat. Sailors became distraught. They started throwing their goods overboard, trying to lighten the load. And finally, the captain went down and found Jonah asleep in the lower deck. And they said, well, why don't you wake up? Wake up and go and call your Lord to save us. Well, all the other sailors were already thinking, who brought the calamity upon us? So, yes. I'm sorry, where? Oh, that was just in Jonah 1:4-5, and I went to Luke 13:1-3. No, that's after the fact, I should say. He went on board, then when the waves started coming, because they departed the deck, and they got into the, wherever they were in the middle of the ocean or whatever, the great wind and all the waves and all that started coming. And so they drew lots to see who.
Of course they tried their gods.
Correct. They called on their gods. That's correct, yes. Called on their gods to see who. Correct, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. Yes. Once, like I said, once the vessel got underway and the Lord commanded the great winds and that, and the sailors were afraid, starting throwing all their stuff overboard, and they decided to take lots to see who might have caused this, because they were afraid. They don't know what was causing all the problems. They were afraid, so they called on their own individual gods. I thought that was interesting that they each had their own individual gods. But so that's when the captain went down and found Jonah asleep and woke him and said, "Now you call your God to save us." But then they drew lots to see who caused the calamity, and it all fell on Jonah. And they go, "Why did you do this to us? You're running from God. You told us you did." And he says, "Well, what should we do with you?" And he says, "Well, throw me overboard. Once you throw me overboard, the waves, the wind, all that will stop." So they thought about it, and then do we think that when a storm comes our way, that God is angry with us? Yes? No? Maybe? Certainly not. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Like, for instance, like Imelda and Harvey. There's a lot of devastation in Harvey, you know. You don't know what their thinking was. Do they blame God for that? But God, you know, he didn't pass judgment on them. It just happened. You know, the storms came. And if you read in Luke 13:1-3, it says, "Now on occasion there was some present who reported to him about the Galatians who brought Pilate, whose blood Pilate mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these were greater sinners than all other Galatians because they suffered the fate? I tell you, unless you repent, you're all going to perish.'" So they thought that because they, you know, they were better than the rest of the Galatians, that they, you know, they were above the law, or above, God favored them most. But he's telling them, "No, you're not. You will perish just like the rest of them." Yeah, I could see that, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm.
No. Alex, you had a question? Oh, okay.
This confirms Ronnie's point, because we make those assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
Really, unless we have a problem
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
John,
yes.
I think when you look at Luke 13, the focus, for me, when I read this passage, you know, what's the attitude of the people who are asking Jesus this question? It's, how bad are these guys? And in his reply, Jesus is turning the focus back to the people who are talking to him. You know, what does it matter if so-and-so, this group of people, got flooded by the milk? What matters is, are you with us? Have you repented? And that's kind of the meaning that I think from Luke 13.
Okay.
In last week's paper, I didn't read all of it, but there's some scientists or something that are saying we're having more intense storms, and they're closer together than we used to, and they I think it's the religion section. They're thinking it might be some kind of judgment on the United States or something. I read that in last week's paper.
I personally believe when God comes, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be burned up in flames. I'd rather be underground and he can resurrect me. You know, I just don't want to be here on this planet when he decides to come, you know. But, so. Okay, question 3. Was Jonah's experience true? Yes? I think so. If you look in Matthew 12, 38 through 40. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to the teacher, "We want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation grates for a sign, and yet will not be given to you, but just the sign of Jonah. For Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a sea monster. The Son of Man will spend 3 days and 3 nights in the earth." And then at 11, Luke 11, 29 and 30, it continues, as the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is wicked and it seeks a sign, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For Jonah was a prophet for the Ninevites. So the Son of Man, so is the man to be, excuse me, so will the Son of Man be to this generation." So we have God for our answer to God in our lifetime. If you go to Jonah, again, the book of Jonah, and we're in, yes.
I find it interesting in verse 41, which Matthew, it says, "The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah."
That's my next.
Exactly what happened when Jonah preached to them.
Yeah. That's in my next question, Alex. It jumped. We're in Luke 1, 9 and 10. Then reads, "And it said unto you, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord of God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto them, Why hast thou done this to us? You fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them." So we see that after the hearing of Jonah that he caused all this calamity, you know, they says, "Let's just put you out in the sea like you want to be, and we'll be saved." So that's what they did. But if not, how does this affect the gospel of Christ today? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone else? Okay.
Jonah is a classic story that is ridiculed today as a fable. It couldn't happen that a fish would swallow a man and be in the inside of that fish.
Right, right. That is definitely a miracle to have, spend 3 days, 3 nights in a sea monster, as they call it. There's no wording that says it was a whale, but common sense. I mean, he's big enough to swallow a man whole, you know, but he called it a sea monster. Now, question four, is there evidence that the Ninevites repented? Okay. What led the Corinthians' repentance, and what was the results of that? They were saved? I'm sorry?
Godly sorrow.
Godly sorrow, right. Yeah, Alex read Matthew 12:41 already. So we'll go to Jonah 3:10. And it says, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil ways. And God repented from the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, but did not do it. So we see that they were true about that. We'll go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7. Ten and 11. And there we go with you. For godly sorrow worketh repentance and salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfish thing that we sorrow after a godly sort, that carefulness is wrong in you, ye. What clearing of yourself, ye. What indignation, ye. What fear, what vermin, what desire, what zeal, what revenge, and all these things. Ye have approved yourself to be clear of these matters. So they repented to the point where they turned to God and continued worshiping. Went from their evil ways. And then we go to Matthew 3:8. And we see that the evidence of the Ninevites did repent because they bring forth fruits that meets for repentance. So they turned from the evil ways and did the worldly, did the things that were righteous for Christians to do. And then we will. No, Matthew 3:8.
Oh, okay.
Matthew.
Jonah 3:8 also means that same thing. That they turned their wicked way and the violence which is in their hand. And then the hand said God saw their deeds. They turned their wicked way.
Right, right.
So that's certainly evidence of repentance. If the Corinthians all wrote that first letter with tears, they were harboring a moral man and unashamed of it. Plus a number of other things.
Right.
And even though he didn't want to do it, here's the recognition of God's sovereignty.
Anybody else? Any other comment? No? Okay. So, question five. Why was Jonah angry?
Because God spared the city.
Yep, that's true. What? Yep. Do we know what happened to Jonah after he went and spread the gospel and he sat outside of the city? What happened to him?
God caused the plants to grow up and change from the heat, and then the next day a warm baked plant. And so in his letter, Jonah's mad two times. He's mad because God spread the city, but then he's mad because God took away this plant that was giving him shade.
Right. Right. Of course, you said, God said to Jonah, well, you didn't have any part in growing it, planting it, watering it, and yet you're angry because I took it away, you know. And then the worm came and devoured it, and then the heat of the next day came upon Jonah, and he said, I'd rather die than live. He said, my life is not worth nothing now because of the heat. But he said, you know, should I, let's see here. Because they repented, the Lord didn't destroy the city. God told Jonah, why should I destroy the city when the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing? You know, and all the animals. But they repented. He didn't like that. And so he, you were right, he was mad twice, you know. So, but trying to extend this 10 more minutes. Because God loves all people. Application to the U.S. If we're having floods, do we think God is angry with us?
We use a phrase sometimes, we say, we think our mountains are the highest and our valleys are the deepest. So we're encompassed with our persecution. That was Jonah. I had this plant in the shade, that's all I had.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Right.
A shoulder sore or what I couldn't make it, you know, or the job not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Not about these larger issues.
Right.
It's a real picture sometimes of how blind we can be about ourselves. We have a great picture of God's purpose in this world, God's love in the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
I think sometimes, you know, as Christians living in America, we become, I say, Americanized Christians, that, you know, think that God doesn't care about all these other nations because they're wicked, they're getting what they deserve. You know, there's a famine here, a war here, you know, getting bondage of living is because they deserve to be people.
Right.
They realize that all these people all over the world are all made in God's image.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all worthy of God's forgiveness.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, the news nowadays is just who killed who. No justification. You just got in my way. I don't need you. You've got people who like their animals more than they do their life. And that's sorry, because it's an animal. It's your friend, but it's not a human being. that God made. So we have to take into consideration what they think, and should we should not be judgmental toward them because they value their pet more than their own life. But those who, you know, have those animals, yes, we had an animal once, and I was heartbroken when he died, or she died. But we move on. And, but, you know, God loves all people, regardless. Women, children, men, women, and children. And because we are all precious in his life. So...
Well, we could have a church full of Jonahs. And God would choose the prophets and have an understanding of God. He wasn't an idolater. I preached for a church full of Jonahs.
Really? Yeah, I went to I went to another church years ago, and it was big enough that it had ushers, so I was an usher. And about the fourth time I was one, I was taken aside by, I don't know who he was. He says, your dress is not appropriate. I says, I'm not here to do a fashion show for anybody. I'm here to hear the word of God. If you think that I'm not appropriately dressed, don't have a suit and tie, I left the church. I thought they had the wrong message. They're more into what you look like and how many diamonds you have off hanging on you, and they just, I had no need for that anymore. So I kind of wandered around until she finally convinced me to come to this church. And the story ends there. I've been here ever since. But there are churches like that. Yes.
Well, it's easy to understand that God is why Jonah did not walk in the faith. Now, I don't know for sure how much Jonah understood about the really big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Nineveh is the capital of Syria.
Right.
And Assyria is the ones who are going to destroy the northern kingdom. The people of Nineveh are his enemy. Even during the period when he is preaching, they are at war with Nineveh. Off God.
Right. Right. I don't
understand why
he did, but the Lord has his own reason. Mm-hmm. When Jonah was in the whale, he was asking God, all these forgiveness and all that, and then after he was expelled from the belly, he repented from what he did and realized his fault and decided to go to the second time being called. He finally went. Proclaim, God's word, and like I say, he went outside and found a shady spot and sat and waited to see. Yes.
People
Right, right. Yep.
And then when God took his precious thing away that God gave him for shame, he counted some more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. He did pout and he just wanted to die because the heat was so intense on him again the next day and take my life, you know, it ain't worthy to live here. And that's when God said to him, well, why are you mad because I took away the plant? You know, you didn't water it. You didn't make it grow, you know. So he was actually thinking of himself, like you say. Harrison, Joan, and the three-year-old. Yeah, you could see that. You know, so, but it's interesting that I picked this book because I thought it was interesting because he, denied Christ and do I know part of it? And then when he went through what he went through, he turned his life around and started serving God. And a lot of us today have that attitude, you know, well, we'll do what we want to do, and then when something terrific comes by and devastates you, you think, well, maybe I'm going the wrong way. Maybe I need to turn to God and ask him to forgive me, you know, so. But.
Hey, John, since your fellow tag is something else to notice about Jonah chapter 3, when we talk about their repentance, you wonder what caused it. There's a key in verse 5. People instead of believing in God, the faith was the foundation of their repentance. They believed the message that was being preached.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it's not the kind of message we would have chosen. How can you win friends and influence people with the message of condemnation?
Right.
Don't want to get more out of that verse than there. You have to wonder if the story about what happened to Jonah preceded Jonah. You know, when the Israelites got to Jericho, Rahab said, we've heard about you. And that was God's intent. We've heard how you're whipping nation after nation after nation.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
In this case, and in the story about the fish, I don't know if anybody witnessed this or no indication about that.
Yeah.
I wonder if all of that did not precede him preaching there and says they believe in God. And the second thing about their repentance is in verse 6, and that's humility. That it says these people, the king laid aside his robe. And Jesus pointed out in Matthew 18, Kevin converted his children to get into the kingdom. What he was talking about there is humility.
Right.
You can have all the knowledge in the world, you can hear the message, but if it doesn't enter into a humble heart, a recognition of our guilt and our sin and the need.
Any questions? I'm just about out of... Go ahead. Yes?
I just thought it was interesting, end of chapter 4, God's telling all this stuff to Jonah, and Jonah was upset about the boar dying, and he was mad at God, and then God is talking to him, and he said, "You know, the boar, you didn't work to let it grow." And he's telling Jonah all this stuff, and there's no reply from Jonah. He didn't answer.
Yep, you're right.
And I think that's interesting.
What was going through his mind? Can you imagine being in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights and come out of it alive? And you got to think, well, there's got to be some divine power here that's doing this, saving me. Now, what is the reason? You know, that's when he was called the second time around, go to Nineveh and repent from them. I mean, have them repent of their wicked sins. So, and I didn't, that is interesting, Sally. I didn't really.
There's no answer. John doesn't have any answer to it.
Right, right. Yes.
And that same verse in 6, it says, he arose from his throne and he laid aside his robe. To me, that seems a relinquishing of the authority that he had and the recognition that there's someone greater than the king.
Right. Right. Yep. Correct. Yes. Okay. All righty. Well, it's about time. I wish to thank you for this opportunity to talk to you about Jonah. And thank you.